Now, you know, really, it's some things I got to talk about. It may be a little much for some who are a little more seasoned in life, but the question is, what in the world is going on? What's happening? What's happening in this world? This world is nuts. And so we just need to know why things are happening the way that they're happening. And sure, you know, when it comes to prophecy and end times, you know, I was really all about it, you know, earlier on in ministry, you know, the end times and really picking the nuances out and, you know, the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel. I was really all into it. But then things change, you know, as time. I'm still into end time events, but I let all those other speakers tie in the days of Noah with today and all that kind of stuff and bringing out the stuff in the Middle East and how it ties into prophecy. God bless them. For them doing that, amen, God bless. But I need to talk about some things that I believe is happening and the reason why we as a nation, because it's much talk, there's a lot of talk about America and what's going to happen with us, is America in prophecy and all these kinds of things. But we're going to talk about what's going on. We're going to talk about this. What in the world is going on in America? That's what I want to talk about. And I believe that we are going to see and get a glimpse of what's going on here in America. Turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 18. You didn't think I was going to come from there, did you? Yeah, no clue. I was going to bring up the book of Leviticus, chapter 18 of all chapters. And Father, we pray that you would speak into our hearts and give us a word in season. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the truths in this chapter that we're going to be looking at. And God, help us to hear your heart and to know your heart and to know your love for us. Lord, help us to see that this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a couple of ways I was going to approach this. And I was looking at it and saying, you know, I really need a couple of sessions to really deal with this properly. So I'm going to kind of overview verses 1 to 22, and then I'm going to go more verse by verse in verses 23 to 30. That way I can get through this evening and don't have you looking at your watch saying, when is this guy ever going to shut up? So I want to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, in chapter 18, this is an amazing chapter of Leviticus. And it is a chapter that is dealing with God's view of sex, sexuality. And so there are some things that God said is okay. And there are some things he said, don't even begin to even think about doing these things. And he said, if you begin to do these things, speaking to the nation of Israel, if you begin to do these things, there are going to be some consequences. And I believe that these same consequences we are seeing here in America. And this is why I wanted to come from this particular chapter. Now, once again, I'm going to overview verses 1 to 22, and then I'm going to go verse by verse from 23 to 30. Now, look what it says there in verse 1. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now, here's God speaking in these verses, making things very plain and simple. One of the things I want you to see from these verses alone, I want you to notice how God began to say, do not do according to the doings of Egypt and the land that I am about to bring you. In other words, God is saying you've had 430 years to be in Egypt and to observe the ways of the Egyptians. And God said, do not do them. Well, there's going to be some problems. Then he said, in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you, do not do according to their ordinances. Don't do them. They're being kicked out of their land for a reason. And God said, I don't want you to do them. Why, God? Why don't you want us to do what the people in Egypt and the land of Canaan has done? He made it very clear at the end of verse 2. He says, I am the Lord your God. He made it plain again at the end of verse 4. I am the Lord your God. He said it again in verse 5. I am the Lord. So God, why is it that you don't want us, your people, to do according to the Egyptians nor the land of Canaan where you're about to bring them? Why, God? God said, because I'm the Lord thy God. I said so. That's why. I said so. This is God's commandment, and it's right. He says, I said it. That's why. He made it clear, because he said, I am the Lord your God. He said it again, I am the Lord your God. He said it again, I am the Lord. Basically, I said so. Because God knows that there are some consequences to us disobeying the Lord's commands. Now, in verses 6 down to verse 18, there are some sexual practices that the Egyptians were involved in, as well as the people from the land of Canaan. They were involved in. And so once again, I am just going to overview those particular verses that God says, he makes very clear, there are some things that I don't want you to be involved in. So in these verses, 6 down to 18, God is saying this kind of sexuality is prohibited. He said, you cannot have sex with your father or your mother. Why? Because that's just nasty. That's the Tony Clark translation. That's nasty. You don't do that. That's weird. It's just not right. You cannot have sex with your aunt in verses 12 and 13, your brother or your sister in verse 9, your stepbrother or sister in verse 11, your daughter-in-law or son-in-law in verse 15. You cannot have sex with a woman and her daughter at the same time in verse 17. See, these are the things that the Egyptians were doing and the Canaanites as well. And God already said in verse 3 that he didn't want them to observe their ways or walk according to their ordinances. When God says don't do something, it is because we will have a tendency to do them. This is why he said don't do them, because he knows us and knows us very well, that we will have a tendency to do it. And so this is what he is saying in these particular verses. Now in verse 19, notice what he says there. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. That's very obvious. It says don't be intimate with your wife if she's on her monthly. And, you know, hey, that's between you and your wife, whatever. I'm just giving you what the word makes very clear. I don't have time to unpack that, to get into the details of that, because I just don't have time. Now, look what it says there in verse 20. I told you I needed really two sessions. I really need. Now, it says in verse 20, moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Don't go having sex with your neighbor's wife. Now, what I find so amazing is that the world does this all of the time. You can't watch a TV program without seeing this take place. The very thing God said don't do. You remember he said don't do it because we have a tendency to do those things. So he says don't do it. Don't do this particular thing. Now, I don't have time to unpack that. I think that's very self-explanatory. Look what it says there in verse 21. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Now, Molech was the god of prosperity. And there were idols of Molech found in the land of Canaan that were 5 feet high with hollow bellies made of cast iron. And see, they would make a fire in the belly of Molech. And when the arms of the idol were red hot, they would place the babies on the outstretched arms of Molech and fry them to death. Why? Because they believed that babies were not real people, that they were an inconvenience, a hassle, a bother, unplanned, or in the way of their lifestyle. Oh, that sounds very familiar to today. And oh, how babies are still sacrificed on the arms of Molech today, all in the name of prosperity, all in the name of convenience, all in the name of partying or advancing my career or my goals. And babies are still sacrificed to Molech today. Oh, let me say this as well. If you have sacrificed a baby or babies on the arm of Molech through abortion, that there is forgiveness for you through Jesus Christ. And he loves you and sees your tears that you shed at night and in the morning over that child. And let Jesus heal your wounded heart, because he desires to do that. He loves you and wants to deliver you from the guilt of your sin and set you free. Oh, somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to hear that today, that the Lord loves you and he wants to set you free from the guilt. The guilt of it. He really does. Oh, verse 22 is here. We got to deal with it. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. I don't know how plainer we can get with that. It says what it says. I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, I find it amazing that every other movie or show or sitcom or conversation, there's always got to be some same-sex thing to it. It's every sitcom, you look up, somebody's opening up a cake saying, I'm gay, or some kind of gay kind of innuendo. It's in every movie, everything. I said, you know what? I said, Janice, if we were to put in every movie, every sitcom, every show, every conversation, something about Jesus Christ and Christianity, the world will have a fit. They will have a fit over it. But it's okay for them to do this. And then they say, well, if you share your faith, you're shoving it down our throat. What in the world do you think you're doing? Shoving it right down my, I'm choking on every bit of it, but you shoving it down with a plunger. It says what it says here, and I don't have time to unpack that either. It is what it is. I went in great detail when I taught through Leviticus in Virginia, and I just don't have time to unpack that today, because we're talking about, because all this is the backdrop and the background to what in the world is going on. You're about to see it. Look at what it says in verse 23. Nor shall you mate with an animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. God said that we shouldn't have sexual relationship with animals. Why? He said, because it is perversion. That's even weirder. to go and stand before an animal to mate with it. Now, that's beyond nasty. That's weird. To stand before that bestiality, that's weird. And to do that, God said it is a perversion. We pervert what God created, sexual relationship between a married man and a married woman, we pervert it. It's been said that someone stood before an animal, a sheep, and that's how the AIDS epidemic occurred. Now, some folks try to, you know, dispute that, and really, I don't care. You know, they can try to dispute it. But the fact that it used to be said that it was through bestiality, that the AIDS epidemic got into the human race. It's sick. It is sick for a man to stand before a sheep and think about mating with it. That's just weird. Why would God even say this? Because man, God knows the depravity of man, how deep our depravity goes, that it will go to this point that God would even have to say it. That's the part that's just weird to me. And this was the behavior of the Egyptians. It was the behavior of the Canaanites. And this is why God said, I know you've had 400 years to observe their ways. Don't think about carrying those ways over into the land of Canaan, because the very people I'm kicking out for you to dwell in their land, they used to do it too. And God is making it very clear, this is not what I want from our people. Look what it says there in verse 24. It says, do not defile yourself with any of these things. And here we go. We're getting close to what in the world is going on. For by all these, the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. Now, God said, do not defile yourself with any of these things. What things? Having sex with children, parents, aunts, uncles, sister, brother, same sex, nor with animals. He said, do not defile yourself. Now, that Hebrew word defiled for defiled is tami. And it means to be unclean in a ritual or a ritualistic or moral sense. So having sex with relatives and animals and same sex makes you unclean in a moral sense, is what God is saying. Or it is just morally wrong. That word defile also can be translated, the Greek word, it can be translated as polluted or to desecrate. And this is what we do to ourselves when we participate in these sexual sins. We become unclean, polluted, or desecrate ourselves in a moral sense. And no matter how much our society try to make it clean, it is unclean in the eyes of God. Oh, please know that if you have been participating in any of these sexual sins, once again, I have to say that there is forgiveness and a cleansing for you through Jesus Christ. And he will cleanse you and make you whole again because he loves you. The Bible makes very clear in 1 John 1:9, makes it very clear that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we come to him in brokenness and humility, and he will cleanse you and forgive you of all of your sins, not just the cleansing of the consequences these sexual sins bring, but to also we need to come and realize that we have sinned against a holy God. We're dealing with a holy God. He's not just some my big guy up in the sky kind of stuff. And I think we kind of soften God too much. He's like, oh, he's my big teddy bear up in the sky. Hey, let me tell you something. God is a holy God, and he doesn't tolerate sin, and he won't tolerate sin in any of our lives. And we need to realize that and put God in his rightful place. Oh, yes, God is love, and he is forgiving. He's gracious and merciful. And amen, praise the Lord for that. But that's not all of his qualities and his characteristics. He is holy and just, and he will punish sin. And we're going to see, and we're going to begin to see in a few minutes here what in the world is going on. I had to give you that whole background first. The Lord goes on to say in the second part of verse 24, by these things, sexual sins, he is casting them out of the land before you. Now, there is something about the land God places his people in that is sanctified or set apart for him and his people. It's something about the land. You know what it is? God has decided to dwell there. Therefore, that makes that land holy because God decides to dwell there. And throughout the Old Testament, God warns his people, if they don't live right, the land, notice, would vomit them out. How do we know this for sure? Look at verses 25 to 28. Oh, now we get to the crux of the matter here. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either of your own nations or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Oh, here it is. We are here now. We're about to see what in the world is going on in America. God said in verse 25, when the land is defiled with these sexual sins, he said, I will visit. Notice that in verse 25. I will visit is a phrase that means he will visit with judgment. And his judgment is seen, don't miss this, with natural catastrophes. Through the phrase, the land will vomit you out. Now, the people in Virginia, they've heard me say it a zillion times, that God judges a nation in this life. He judges them through natural catastrophes. He judges individuals in the next life. And he uses natural disasters to vomit out the inhabitants of that land. Oh, it's very clear. You remember, let me just give you a little history lesson. In Genesis chapter 11, when a nation of people wanted to rebel against God and build a tower to heaven, oh, they were trying to study the stars, the horoscope, to determine their future instead of seeking the heart of God. And God scattered them out of that land, or he vomited them out of that land and scattered them across the earth. The Egyptians, we know that all so well. The Egyptian nation was judged during the time of Moses through natural disasters, such as there was hail with fire, there were frogs, lice, flies. The last one was the death angel. You've seen Ten Commandments and Cecil B. DeMille. You've seen it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All natural disasters. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites were all judged for their sins, and the land vomited them out. And God gave that good land to the Israelites. Now, when the Israelites sinned and followed in the ways of the nations before them, God judged them and the land vomited them out. Keep in mind, you remember when Solomon was dedicating the temple? You remember in 1 Kings chapter 8, he prayed this dedicatory prayer. Within that particular prayer, he began to say, Lord, if your people sin against you, and then he began to name famine, and he named a whole list of natural disasters. He said, when anyone turns toward this holy place, hear their prayer. Notice, he recognized that when they sinned, God will judge them using natural disasters in order to judge them. He made that very, very clear. So please understand that judgment is coming and is already here in America for the sexual sins our nation has and is participating in. And the land is vomiting us out of it through hurricanes, earthquakes, extreme cold, extreme heat. There was just a snowstorm in Boston in April. Just what, 2 days ago? I know y'all don't Y'all don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, being out here in paradise, you know. Y'all don't pay. But there was a snowstorm in Boston, for those of you who don't realize it. Also, I just before I came here, I was looking at Facebook, and I saw once again something that you do know about. There were some fires that's burning somewhere in California, not that far from here. And once again, folks have to evacuate. I was blown away when I think this was last year. I had heard, I couldn't believe it. I wrote out here to all my California folks. I said, y'all okay out there? I had heard that there was a tornado. Tornado. Can y'all believe that? That should have been on y'all's calendar of lifetime things that your eyes have seen. I heard that there was a tornado that started somewhere, either Carlsbad somewhere, and it jumped to 78 and was making its way on around somewhere. I was like, a tornado? I said, in my beloved California? I said, in the Vista area? Fires, all kind of stuff. The land is vomiting us out of it. Hailstones, drought, floods. You look, it's just flooding. It's droughts. It's all kind of things. And the list goes on and on. I tell our people all the time, because that's something you don't have to quite worry about it out here. But I tell them all the time to look, keep your eyes on the weather, not only in the world, but the weather in America. Pay close attention. All people say, yeah, that stuff been going on all the time. Not like this. Not like this. Matter of fact, it was just 70-something degrees the other day in Virginia. And then they just said yesterday it was dropped down to freezing. And I was like, I'm out here in California, you know. I couldn't believe that. I was blown away. Billy Graham said it long time ago, and I still believe it. He said, if God doesn't judge America harshly, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Oh, it's old school, but I believe it's true. I agree with him wholeheartedly. Seeing how Sodom and Gomorrah committed the sexual sin, they committed others, but they committed these sexual sins. And watch this. How did God judge them? By raining down fire and brimstone, a natural disaster. Rain down fire and brimstone. And now we'll move from national sins to individual sins in verse 29. Look what it says there in verse 29. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, God said whoever, the whoever speaks of individuals. He moves from national sins to now individuals within that nation, their individual sins. He says whoever commits any of these abominations, the sexual sins, the perverted sexual sins, the person shall be cut off from among their people. The whosoever or whoever also shows that no one is exempt from this. The death penalty is given to those who participate in these sexual sins. Why so severe? I've told you before, sexual sins carry a greater punishment, a greater consequence. See, if they allow for people to commit these sins, the entire nation was in jeopardy of being judged by God and vomited out or kicked out of the land. You remember what the false prophet Balaam told King Balak? King Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites. He said, man, I can't curse. That's God's people. He said, I can't curse them. He took them to three different places and tried to give them to curse them. Instead, Balaam blessed them. Bless the people of God. So he said, okay, he said, man, these three times I brought you to curse them and you end up blessing them, and you blessed them indeed. Balaam said, look, I can't curse those whom God has blessed. He said, but let me tell you something. He said, there's a way I can get you to see these people of God cursed and you don't have to lay a hand on them. He said, okay, I'm all ears. He said, look, you get them to sin against their God. and then their God will judge them. And you can just sit back and watch. He said, okay, I'm still listening. He said, this is what you do. He said, you get some of your cute little Midianite girls, some of the real cute ones, and you send them into the camp of the Israelites and get them to commit sexual immorality with these men. And then when they finish committing sexual immorality with them, because men, we're vulnerable at that moment, then you bring out your little gods and have them bow down and worship their little gods. He said, I see what you're saying. And he did it. And it worked. Because as soon as the men began to commit sexual immorality with these Midianite women, watch this. God judged his people with what? A plague, which is a natural disaster. The plague got them going through the camp like rapid fire. It took Phinehas, Aaron's grandson, to take a spear. And he went into the camp of one of them committing sexual immorality, who was probably the ringleader, because if you look at the text, the person who was committing sexual immorality was one of the heads of the leaders in Israel. And he was probably one of the ringleaders. So Phinehas went and took a spear and went in there and boom, and jabbed him right through, killed him. And the plague stopped. Not before 24,000 Israelites were killed. 23 in one night, and by the next morning, another 1,000 died. That's how you reconcile the 23,000 in the Old Testament and 24,000, Paul said, in the New Testament. Now, I want you to notice, remember I said sexual sin carries a greater consequence. 24,000 died as a result of them committing sexual immorality. Why so severe? Because when we, as believers, we have Jesus Christ, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus Christ in us. And as Jesus Christ is in us, when we take Jesus Christ and join it with someone sexually that we're not married to, we join Christ in that union. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is why it's such a severe thing. This is why he calls us to repent of sexual issues, sexual sins. Sexual sins have dealt a major blow in many of our lives. Many of our lives. I guarantee you that most, if not almost all, of the hardships we have dealt with can be traced back to these sexual sins. I can guarantee you. Either through molestation, rape, being exposed to pornography at a young age, through looking for love and having sex with many, many different people, which leads to babies with different men or babies with different women, diseases, abortion, shame, anger, the uncleanness, the depression. I guarantee you that the majority of our hardships that we have experienced in our life can be traced back to us participating in sexual sin. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee that list I just named is just a small list, and I guarantee you it's touched almost all of us here. This is why we're dealing with the things we're dealing with in our country. All of these sins bring great consequences that many of us are still suffering from. But the good news is that we have a God that's ready to forgive and restore and heal broken hearts and broken lives. Why? Because we have a God that Isaiah 53 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Why? Because the verse before says he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what sin does. It destroys, it devastates our lives and leaves us broken and battered and bruised. And this is why Jesus came to die. He came to die for the sins that has devastated our lives. In John chapter 5, you remember the man was paralyzed by the pool of Bethesda. And many scholars suggest that he was in that paralyzed condition because of the effects of some sexually transmitted disease that left him crippled. And when Jesus healed him, he told him in John 5, verse 14, you remember, he said, see, you have been made well. Watch this. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And see, many of you are here today crippled by the effects of sexual sin, unable to walk straight in life because sexual sin has paralyzed you, paralyzed your dreams and your career. And Jesus heals and he restores. And when Jesus and God was a part of our national life, we were a nation that was on top. We were on top so much that we wanted the world to know that everywhere our money went, we wanted the world to know who it was we were trusting in. In God we trust. Now that's considered unconstitutional. This is why we're going to end up like Revelation 13 talked about the mark of the beast. This is why we're going to end up going to a cashless society, because they definitely got to get rid of that in God we trust, because that's a lie today. We ain't in God we trust. What God? Isn't there something we got to ask? What God? Today, we were a nation that talked about, even in our patriotical song, God shed his grace on thee. We were a country that loved God. We made our laws according to the Bible and the scripture. Blackstone's Book of Law was how they trained lawyers back in the day. There was so much scripture in there. A young man named Charles Finney ended up giving his life to the Lord and left the law practice and became one of the greatest evangelists in the Second Great Awakening in the 1850s. Because there were so many scriptures in Blackstone's Book of Law that he ended up getting converted. We were once an incredible nation. We were once a proud nation, proud in the sense of proud of our God. And I look at us now, and I'm just devastated by who we are now as a nation. Let me read verse 30, and then I'm going to conclude and wrap it up with this. I'm going to come back to that. It says, therefore, you shall keep my ordinances so that you do not commit any of these abominations, customs which were committed before you, that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. That's once again God saying, why we have to do this, God? Because I'm the Lord thy God. I said it. So he says, remember, don't do these things. Notice how verse 30 starts off with therefore. Therefore is a transitional conjunction that always takes you back to what was previously said. And so because the land vomited out those who were in it committing these sexual sins, the death penalty is given to those who committed these sins. Therefore, God said, you shall keep my ordinance so that you do not commit any of these customs which were committed before you and that you do not defile yourself by them. Why? He said, because I'm the Lord thy God. I said so. Simple as that. At first, I remember when I was teaching through Leviticus, I didn't see any, for lack of better terms, I didn't see any hope for our nation. I really didn't see any hope for our nation. However, I remember someone said something to me just in passing that stuck with me. As long as there's God, there's hope. Because God is called the God of all hope. And then as they said something in passing and it just hit me. The reason why there's hope is because people like us, we're still here. Oh, you remember in Genesis 18 when Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. He started out with 50. Lord, there are 50, you won't destroy that nation, right? God said, no, if there's 50, no, I won't. He said, what if there's 45? He said, nope, won't destroy for 45. What if 40? And he got all the way down. He said, oh, Lord, please forgive me for even speaking to you. I can't even believe I'm even talking to you like this. But, what if there's 10? And God said, I won't destroy it for 10. Listen to that. Listen to the heart of God. He said, I won't destroy the city if there's at least 10. The reason why I believe, the reason why Abraham stopped at 10, he thought at least there was 10 people saved in that city. Because you had Lot and his wife. He had two married daughters that many of you miss. And two unmarried daughters. Then the married daughter's husbands, that's 8. Surely they won 2 people to the Lord. Surely. Surely they won 2. No. They didn't. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah through a natural disaster, fire and brimstone. There were not even 10. So the reason why I said that there's hope, because I believe that there's more than 10 righteous in America. And because of that, I don't believe he will totally destroy us. Oh, but I believe the land is vomiting us out of it. And we see it throughout the years. We see some devastation. Just this past winter on the East Coast, something y'all didn't pay much attention to. Maryland, D.C. area got dumped at one time 30 inches of snow. Buried them. They were up to here with snow. Buried them. When you drop 30 inches of snow at one time, it shut down almost the entire East Coast. So have there been snows over the years? Yeah. Have there been bad snowstorms? Yeah, 95, there was a bad one, 96, recent history. But not like today. It's the land vomiting us out because of our sexual sin. So you want to know what in the world is going on? Let me tell you. The land is vomiting us out of it. And it's going to take us, God's people, to do something about it. To do the Abraham and intercede. To do what God says. He says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So we need to pray to him. He's the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers in his harvest. The last thing we must do is this. You know the verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, watch this, and turn from their wicked ways. He says, then I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and here it is, and heal their land. We want to see the land healed? We're going to have to humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, and not just play church. And seek his face. And then we're going to have to turn from our wicked ways. Because many of us are doing the same kind of mess that the world is doing. And we wonder why the land isn't being healed. Because we're no different than the world out there. And God is saying, until my people who are called by my name, please don't get it twisted that help is coming in the White House. I hope you're not that twisted. You kidding me? In the White House? No, it's God's house. That's where the help is coming. It's when we, as his people, who are called, we call by his name, aren't we, Christians? It's when we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek his face and we turn from our wicked ways. God said, then, and only then, will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, I'm telling you, the help and the change is going to come when we, as God's people, start being God's people. That's where the change is coming. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, the solid foundation of the Lord stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone, watch this, who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We can't see the land healed, men, if we so hooked and strung out on pornography like the world is. We can't. We can't see our land healed if we're doing everything, if we come to church every Sunday with our live-in partner. We cannot see the land healed if we're still fooling around just like the world is. We can't. And then we'll sit back and talk about the world, and we're doing the same things they're doing. That's just not going to happen. And we wonder why the land isn't healed. And then we're like, oh, what's going on? No, the Lord's going to judge America. Okay, yeah, he may judge, but what are we doing? Are we being Abraham? Are we interceding? Do we care enough about what's going on in our nation to where we will intercede for America as Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah? It has to start with us, because there's more than 10 of us. There's more than 10 of us in here. I ain't gonna say all of y'all right with God. Now, you know, I'm just saying. But here it is. I'm gonna close with this. What in the world is going on? Our precious nation that I served in the United States Marine Corps, I served. My precious nation that I love still. It's a hot mess, but I still love her still. We're in trouble. But I believe that there's hope, because we serve the God of all hope. And when we begin to just humble ourselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways, God said, hear, hear. Meaning that God isn't hearing. I mean, he hears, but he's not obligated to respond if we haven't turned from our wicked ways. We can pray to him all we want, but if we go right back, leave the prayer meeting, go right back to our live-in partner, or go right back to pornography, or go right back to our girlfriend outside of our wives, if we go back to all that stuff, he's not going to hear us. The Bible says God's arm is not too short. He can't save. None of his ear heavy. He can't hear. He said, but your sin has separated you from your God, so he will not hear. And so we have to make some changes ourselves. And so once again, I this is the solution for our nation. There's hope for it, but we got to change. It starts with us in here. It starts with every church that met tonight. Around this nation, it starts with us. May we take up the challenge. May we hold, as the old timers used to say, the blood-stained banner. May we take the challenge that we're going to humble ourselves and pray. We're going to seek his face and turn from our mess. And God said, I will hear when you do that. May God's ears be attentive to our prayers, like Peter says. And may we be that type of people to see this nation experience not judgment, but revival. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time, Lord. And we're so grateful for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this awesome opportunity to share with your precious people here. And Lord, I just pray, God, that the people here, Lord, your precious people that you sent Jesus to die for, that they, Lord, would definitely be a people that you can use to do a great work in this part of your vineyard here in Vista, California. And so, Lord, I just pray that all of those who've heard this word around this country and around the world, that, Lord, we will catch the fire of prayer and seeking your face and turning from our wicked ways. And so, Lord, draw your people unto you today. And, Lord, we're so grateful for your word and this opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.